Now, friends, we come to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, and again, I must say that this is a section that I feel entirely inadequate to deal with. And very frankly, we went over the last part of the 15th chapter last time entirely too hurriedly. Although this is a 5-year program, we have to move along. If you really want to know the truth, I wish we had 5 years to spend in the Gospel of John alone. This is one of the richest and most rewarding studies that we possibly could have. Now, you'll recall that the Lord Jesus, in this upper room discourse in the 16th chapter we're coming to, is actually the last chapter of his discourse as he speaks to his disciples. In the next chapter, he's speaking to the Father, but he's speaking in earshot of these men that they might hear him praying, and that you and I might hear him praying, because he's our great intercessor today, and these are the things that he prays for. Now, in the 15th chapter, he's dealing with something that's quite remarkable. He says that those that are his own should love one another. And I want to say to you that it is a real rebuke to us. Two things. One is that he had to command us to do this. This is one of the things that ought to come to us not naturally, but supernaturally, to love one another. And the second thing is, he had to do it, I guess, because we are not nearly as attractive as we think we are. We sometimes feel like that we're very attractive, but we're not, even to one another. And you'll find that believers are continually finding fault one with another, criticizing and picking out the little weaknesses and the little peccadilloes that are in the person of another believer. And it's difficult to get believers to love one another. And that is the thing that he's talking about. Now, he says that one of the reasons that believers should live in the world is because of the hostility of the world to believers in Christ. And that's what he talked about in the 15th chapter as he closed it. He mentioned the fact of who our friends are, and then he mentioned the fact who our enemies are. And these enemies are those that hate him, and we are today to identify ourselves with him. Now, he makes a very remarkable statement back in verse 22, which I passed over rather hurriedly. And will you notice what he says? And I must begin there today. He said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." Now, that's a remarkable statement. Christ said if he hadn't come, they wouldn't have any sin. What does he mean by that? That these were sinless people, and he came along, and it was pretty mean on his part to show to them that they were sinners? No, that's not it. The thing that he's saying is this. He said that until he came, that all they had were their own little sins, and they were bad enough. But compared with the immeasurable guilt of rejecting the Savior of the world and the Lord of glory, their personal sins are as nothing. So that it was better that they had not even seen him or heard him. And I have made this statement often when I was pastor. I would say sometimes at the end of a message when we gave the invitation that if you are here today and reject Jesus Christ, I'm the worst enemy that you've ever had, because you could never go into the presence of God and say you hadn't heard about the Savior. And it has compounded your guilt so that you could never say to him that you've never heard the gospel, because you have heard the gospel. And very frankly, I think that there are not only degrees of rewards in heaven, but there are degrees of punishment in hell, by the way. And I think that the worst sinner is the one that would be classified right with Judas Iscariot, one who was in the presence of Christ, heard about Christ, and then turned his back upon him. So right now, those of you that have heard this broadcast and turn your back upon Jesus Christ, I'm not your friend. I've become your enemy because of the fact that I've told you about one that you couldn't go into God's presence and said you hadn't heard about him. And to reject him is the greatest sin of all, as we shall see in this chapter later on. This is the thing that is absolutely immeasurable, to reject Jesus Christ. Or let me put it like this. I have often said this, and let me repeat this also, because I think it's rather important. There are people today that will argue about whether the nations or the pagans of the world who've never heard of Christ, are they lost? And very frankly, my answer is yes, they're lost. They're lost because they're sinners, not because they rejected Christ. But wait a minute. And I make this statement. I would rather be a Hottentot in the darkness of Africa, never having heard of the gospel, than to be a sinner sitting in the pew of a Bible-believing church in this land of ours and turning your back on Jesus Christ. That is the worst sin that there is. Now, therefore, he talks about this awful sin of rejecting him, and this makes the worst class of sinners there are in the world. And did you know that some of them are in our churches today? And that makes it reprehensible beyond words.